Amen. So that's ministry. That's body ministry. Somebody, I just felt in my spirit, somebody needed the reassurance of a hug today. May not seem like much to you, but it can be so powerful when, as you do it, you're releasing the love of God. Amen. Because God's love is powerful. God's love held Jesus on the cross. We know it wasn't the Roman soldiers. It wasn't the nails. It wasn't anything else other than the love of God that kept Jesus on the cross. And God's love will keep you in places that you might not otherwise want to be. Amen. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you to be obedient, to let His love flow. I want to encourage you to take that ministry of love that's been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, take that out and let it go forth. Amen. Let it go and make a difference in somebody's life, because somebody needs what you've got. Somebody's dying for what the church has got. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you wonder what I'm doing, this, my little thing went off and I'm trying to get my little thing to come back up. And it did. Huh? Am I too loud, Stephen? Maybe it's just... Hallelujah. Well, Kathy and I are just so thrilled to be with you in a happening church, in a happening place, amen, in a growing church. Let me encourage you. I'm just talking for a minute, but I want to admonish you. I've heard several people make the comment that they go here, oh, we've got, you know, our church is just little. We have a little church. Don't say you have a little church. Say you have a growing church. Amen. I mean, it's one thing to be little. Everything, I started out little. You started out little, but we grew. Amen. Because that was God's plan. And I believe this church is following and embracing God's plan, which means you're growing. So let it be a confession of faith when somebody says, well, how many people, how's your church? Oh, we're a growing church. You don't have to tell them the numbers. Just tell them we're a growing church, amen? And one of the ways that the church grows is, of course, that new people come in, but then we must shut the back door so they don't go out. We want to keep them here, amen? Hallelujah. How many of you were not here last Sunday? Okay, there's some. The Lord had me start a message last Sunday, and I thought I would finish it last Sunday. And the way it turned out, I didn't. And so I feel like the Lord wants me to finish it today. Let me just start off by saying, before I get into the message, your pastors are having a great time, Pastors Gordon and Debbie. They send their love to you. They send their blessings to you. They want you to know you're on their hearts, but they're having a great time. Amen. And that's good. Every shepherd needs to get away for a while and be able to relax and get refreshed. Amen. And if you've never pastored, then you have no idea of the pressure that can be there. And I understand we ought to cast all the pressure over on Jesus. But when you're an under-shepherd under Jesus Christ, there's a responsibility that you just can't get away from. And so every once in a while, Jesus took his disciples and took them into a desert place where they could be alone, where they could get refreshed. And so Gordon and Debbie have gone away to do that. And they've been telling us that they're just seeing all kind of wonderful wildlife, and they're going to be posting more of it on Facebook. And if you come here regularly, you know Pastor Gordon loves Facebook. Amen. I don't know who the guy was, but whoever created it didn't know it, but he was creating it for Gordon Brubaker. Amen. And then for all of us, so we could share in what they're experiencing. Hallelujah. I got an email, back in June. I was getting ready to prepare to study. I was going to be going and teaching at a Messianic Jewish congregation where Kathy and I are on the board of ministry there. And about 30 minutes from where we live, back home in Abingdon, Virginia. And as I was getting ready to get into studying that morning, sitting in my little green chair in the living room, I heard the little beep and I knew I'd gotten an email. And generally I don't interrupt. I just, if I'm starting to study, I just let all that go till it's over. But for some reason, and now I know it was the Lord, I looked it up and saw that it was an email from a friend of mine and his wife that are way off now. In, I believe, in Arizona, and they moved from our area. But anyway, he sent me an attachment. And when I read this attachment, it just so grabbed my heart. And I'm not going to take the time to read the whole thing again, but I'm going to give you a condensed version of it. This email attachment that he sent talked about a man named Charles Plum. Charles Plum was a Navy pilot serving in Vietnam during the war there. And he had flown about 75 combat missions. And on his 76th combat mission, he was shot down to ground-to-air missile, hit his plane, took it out. He ejected and parachuted down to the ground. He was captured by the Vietnamese, stayed in prison there in a Vietnamese communist prison for about 6 years, finally was freed and released, and came back home and has been going around the country sharing about his experience and the things that he learned through that experience. One day, he and his wife were sitting in a restaurant, and a man walks over from another table and sticks out his hand and begins to shake hands with Charles Plum and says, "You're Charles Plum. You were on the USS Kitty Hawk. You flew missions over Vietnam. You were shot down. And you were in a prison camp and finally got released." And Plum's just sitting there shaking this man's hand with his mouth gapping open like sometimes we do when somebody's just saying something so beyond our comprehension. And Plum says, "Well, yes, but how did you know?" And the man smiled at him and said, "I'm the man who packed your parachute." And the man said, "And I see that parachute worked." And Charles Plum said, "Yes, it did, because if it had not, I would not be here today." And when Charles Plum went home that night, he couldn't sleep. He began to think about all the times that he probably saw that man but didn't recognize him, because this man was just an ordinary sailor wearing the Navy whites with a little bib in the back and the sailor hat and the bell-bottom pants, and he was a Navy pilot. I mean, he was important. But then he began to realize how important this man was, whom he had never seen before, and or at least never took time to recognize. And he began to wonder if he had ever taken the time to speak a word of kindness to him, to ask how he was doing, to add any value to his life as this man had added to Charles Plum's life. And as I began to read that, then at the very bottom of that email, my friend, Bill McFeature, said, "I just want you to know that you're one of the ones who's packing my parachute." And I sat in that chair and I began to cry, because I realized I had let him down. Not intentionally. I mean, I'd pray for him every so often. And sometimes if I was in a hurry, it was one of those, as you're going out the door, prayers, you know, you got to get somewhere. And, "Oh, Lord, remember Bill. La, 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 I'm on my way, Lord. You understand?" God understands a lot more than we want him to understand sometimes. Selah. Pause and meditate. And the Lord just began to deal with me that that's what he wanted me to minister at this Messianic congregation. And then I hadn't preached that message again since then until last Sunday when the Lord had me share it here. I want you to look with me in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 16. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. Now, I'm going to try to, for the benefit of those who were not here, I'm going to try to do a little bit of a review, but I can't do a complete review. So, Stephen, was the message recorded last week? Yes, yeah, so if you want to get a copy of last week, you can get it. I would encourage you to. This is just a very powerful concept that has the potential to radically change the church. Because how many of you understand that when we're experiencing the glory of God, God's got more on his mind and on his heart than just us being blessed, or just us feeling maybe a glory ball or some tingling sensation? Those are all wonderful. I thank God for them and we need them. But God's got more on his mind. God's got change on his mind. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 that we're being changed from glory to glory to glory as unto the image of Christ. In other words, we're being there's been an overhaul going on in our life. Look at your neighbor and say, you're being overhauled. Now, when you think of something being overhauled, you think of something that was working at one time, but then it stopped working, or something that got so far and the process needed to be continued or completed. And no matter how far you've come, I want to assure you that there's still some things that need to change. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, change is coming. So let's look in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4 and verse 16. It starts off saying, from whom? And that from whom is talking about Christ. In fact, if you look back up in chapter 15, verse 15, you'll see that Paul is talking about Christ being the head, and then in 16 talks about from that head, from Christ, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. Pause. Every person in the body of Christ has got a source of supply that they're furnishing to someone else. Ultimately, to the whole congregation, the local assembly. And beyond that, eventually it waves itself on down, touching the whole body of Christ worldwide. From one person to another person to another person, the impact is being carried. But directly, we're in the local assembly and you're ministering to somebody. You're supplying something somebody else needs. Paul goes on to say, according to the effectual working by which every part does its share. You've got something to do in the body. You've got a part in the church fulfilling its commission. And since we're talking about Living Faith Fellowship Church, we're talking about the commission this church has to Kaiser, West Virginia and surrounding areas. And it's never going to do its job. This church is never going to effectively impact the community quite like God wants it to until every member is supplying its supply and doing its share of the work, taking its share of the responsibility. And Paul goes on, closing verse 16, he says, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, as we through love minister to one another. That's what's going to cause the church to grow. The outworking of our growth is growth numerically, because we will go out and impact others with the good news of who Jesus is, how much He loves people. People are staying away from churches. I've seen a recent poll. A million plus people are leaving the faith almost every year simply because they don't see the relevance of Christianity. Christianity has stopped being relevant to them. Now, let me say, Christianity has not really stopped being relevant, but how we represent Christ to a lost world, that may become irrelevant at times. Amen? When, to the contrary, it ought to be the most relevant thing, the most current thing, more current than reading the morning paper to find out what's happening in the world or in your neighborhood. Amen. You see, the Lord has given such great interdependency to the body, that we're to care for one another, that we're to minister to one another, that we're to help one another. Whatever the other person's assignment is becomes your assignment, becomes my assignment. Amen. And when we think of this, and we think of the mission of the church to go into all the world and proclaim the good news, the gospel, to every person, so that every person has a chance to hear and receive the love of God and to know God intimately and personally like you experienced Him this morning. It makes us realize what a great dependency and how much God thinks of us as His people, that He has put this in our hands, that He has confidence that we're going to do the job. You see, we relate to certain people in the body of Christ more than we do others, not because we're being cliquish. It has nothing to do with being cliquish. It just has to do that we're members in the body, and just like in our human body, there are certain parts of our human body that relate more closely to other parts than they do others. For example, my arm relates more closely to my hand than it relates to my foot. though it's a part of the body and it's ultimately all connected together, the direct connection to my arm is to my hand and to the fingers. You see that? So there's somebody that the Lord is directly connecting you to be a supply line to them, to minister to them. People want to be in the ministry. People want to, and when they say ministry, most of them mean they want to be behind the pulpit. Listen, you've got the greatest ministry opportunity in the world. God's assigned you to somebody to be a supply of the life of God to them, to supply what they need. In fact, Charles Plum said that not only did he need that physical parachute, but he needed a mental parachute. He needed an emotional parachute. He needed an undergirding parachute, something that would strengthen his determination and his will. And he gave a long list of the various kinds of parachutes he had to depend on to make it through that situation. So you may be assigned to a person just to pack one type of parachute. Let's say their emotional parachute. You may be assigned somebody else and they're to supply something totally different than that. And somebody is assigned to your life. So two great questions we've got to ask ourselves is, who's packing my parachute? And then whose parachute am I packing? And of course, we talked last Sunday about this is a serious responsibility. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 talks about that we got to all, every believer, talking to the church, every believer will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive a reward of the deeds we've done in the body. Not just talking about our flesh and blood body, but the deeds we've done in the body of Christ, in our functioning place, whether it's good or whether it's evil. So we've got that responsibility. And I've already mentioned that a recent poll showed that 1 million people a year leave the faith. I wonder if we were packing the parachute of the person we've been assigned to correctly, maybe some of those wouldn't be leaving. Maybe some of those would find the strength to press on in and to stay in their place in the body. Because when somebody leaves, there goes a part of the supply. When somebody leaves, there goes somebody who had an assignment to do a certain work. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I talked about the need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But I want to talk about some other things today that go along with our packing somebody else's parachute, and that we need to pray for the person who's going to be packing our parachute that they'll do. For example, it takes wisdom to pack somebody's parachute. It took wisdom for this man to pack Charles Plum's. But it also takes wisdom when you're going to pack somebody's parachute in the realm of the Spirit. And we don't always know. We may think we know. We may think, boy, I've read the book. I know how to do this. But do we really? The Apostle Paul said, if any man thinks he knows anything, he doesn't know it as he ought to. Meaning, if you're just knowing it in your head, if you're just knowing it through head knowledge, or even learned knowledge, but you haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to show you how to apply the Word. Amen. Or if you're just going on somebody's opinion about how it ought to be done. We need wisdom. We need wisdom that can only come from God. And praise the Lord that wisdom is available to us. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Look at it. You're probably already familiar with this verse of Scripture. James 1, 5. Thank you, Father. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, you know, sometimes we've just got to come to God and say, God, I don't know. We tend in our spiritual pride, we want people to think we know everything. No, we don't. No, we don't, church. There are times we've just got to go to God and say, God, I don't know, but you said you'd share your wisdom with me. Now, if anyone lacks wisdom, he should ask God. Nothing wrong with asking your pastor. Nothing wrong with asking some other mature believer in the church. But ultimately, we need to be depending on God to speak to us. He should ask God, who gives to everyone generously without a rebuke, and it'll be given him. We got to ask. God, show me how to pack. this person's parachute. Help me to understand what they really need. Because what we think they need, or even what they think they need, because I don't know about you, but there have been times in my Christian life I thought I knew what I need, but I did not know what I need. Anybody identify? I mean, I thought, oh, I know, this is what I need. Reminds me of the children of Israel. Remember the story? And they looked around, and all the other nations around them had a king. And they said, you know what? We need a king. That's what we need. We need a king. All these other people got a king. We need a king. And so they went to Samuel the prophet and said, we need a king. And Samuel said, no, you don't need a king. God's your king. Oh, we need a king. And they wouldn't have it any other way. We got to have a king. And so finally they got a king. But along with the king, they got trouble. Hello? Do you ever see something and your flesh is like, you've got to buy that. You've got to buy that car. You've got to buy whatever. You've got to have that. And when you got it home, it didn't work. When you got it home, you found out you're paying way too much for it. Hello? And then we not only need to ask God for wisdom, we've got to stay focused. Look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter's going to give us some very strong, wise counsel. Peter says, be clear-minded and alert. In other words, don't let your mind get foggy. Stay alert. Stay sensitive in the realm of the Spirit. Yeah, when you're driving your car, you need to be alert in the natural. But there's so much going around us we don't see and cannot detect with our natural eye because it's in the realm of the Spirit. It's in an invisible realm, invisible to our natural perceptions. You can't see it, smell it, taste it, hear it, feel it. You can't use your five senses. You've got to use your spiritual eyesight to be able to discern it, which means we got to stay sensitive to the Spirit of God. We got to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin made the statement one time, praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues is the doorway into the realm of the supernatural. And church, we're called to be a supernatural functioning organism. Amen. Not an organization, although we have organization in the body, but we're an organism. We're the body of Christ. We ought to function spiritually like Jesus did, which means that Jesus did not allow people to tell him how things were. He didn't allow carnal-minded people to affect him. He kept listening to the Father. And whatever the Father said, that was the way he went. So Peter says, be clear-minded and alert. Why? Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. If you've ever studied lions, lions don't just see a flock or herd and go chasing after them. They'll crouch down in the grass for hours and they just watch. And it looks like nothing's happening, but something is. They're observing to see the one that's off by itself. They're observing to see the one that's weak, the one that's distracted, the one that's not taking time to lift its head up and look around when a sound goes off. It's just so busy eating. So busy focused on feeding itself. Sometimes we get so focused on self, we're not aware of what's going on around us spiritually. So we need to learn, as the Apostle Paul said, I buffet my body. I know I'm meddling, but I can meddle because I'm in the boat. In fact, Kathy and I have been talking about when we get back to our hometown, we're starting a regiment of exercise and diet. But Paul said, I buffet my body. He didn't buffet his body down at the local salad bar or whatever. He buffeted his body and brought it in subjection so that, he said, so when I preached to others, I wouldn't be considered a reject. Amen. So we've got to learn how to be sensitive and stay alert at what's going on. And then when we see a problem, you don't go tell other people about it. You go pray about it. And you ask God, how am I supposed to help in this situation? Gossip rarely, may I say never, helps. It only hurts. We've not been called to go spread the gossip. We've been called to go spread the gospel. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to be sensitive. We need to be alert. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit quickening in us. When everything seems right, things may not necessarily be right. Ever pick up an apple and it looked good? It's shiny. It just seemed really great. But when you bit into it, you found out that there was something else in that apple besides apple. There was a worm. Ever eat a worm? My friend from years ago, way back when I was about 22, had this little thing. He said, Willie was a mighty worm. A mighty worm was he. He crawled inside the cooking jar and now he's a part of me. That'll just ruin your appetite, won't it? And that's how you bring your body under control. Eat a few worms. No. But we need to not go by outward appearance to judge how things are. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. And especially for the person whose parachute we're packing. The person God's called us to minister to. Now, let me say something before I go on. The fact that you're packing somebody's parachute doesn't mean that you can't minister to anybody else, that you can't pray for anybody else, that you can't help anybody else except that person whose parachute you're packing. You know, the Bible says as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So there, if you see a believer especially in need, we ought to try to minister some way, even if they're not the person you're directly assigned to. You know, a lot of people think, no, we need to go out and minister to those out in the streets. We do. But first of all, we need to learn how to take care of one another. Because if we can't minister to each other effectively, if we can't minister to one another in love, if we can't lay our life aside and lay it down to minister to one another, how are you going to be able to do that for somebody out on the street? John says, how can you say you love God and you don't love your neighbor? Come on. Now, don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. John wrote it on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. If you don't love your neighbor, if you don't love your brother, your sister in the body first, how are you going to love the lost man? Now, I understand that sometimes it's easier to love people you're not directly in contact with all the time. But you see, we're not to love natural love. In the natural, there's some people I can love easier at a distance. Okay? They just are. But I'm not supposed to love them in the natural. I'm supposed to love them by the Spirit of God that's dwelling in me, that has shed that love of God abroad in my heart. Why? So it could flow out. It wasn't just put in to be shed abroad in you. It's to go abroad from you like a river, bringing healing, bring hope, bring help, bring strength, bring whatever they need to make it. Amen. Because when they make it, you make it. When they fail, you fail. Hallelujah. Praise God. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, 26 and 27. 1 Corinthians 12, 26 and 27. Listen to this. This is a depiction from the Word of God of how we're supposed to function in the body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is praised, every part rejoices with it. When you win, I win. When you lose, I lose. That's how it is in the body. Amen. That's the perspective we're to have. Another thing we've got to remember is that we're a part of something that's bigger than just ourselves. We tend to be so focused on how I'm doing, what's going on in my life, that, you know, like that little animal that was out in the field and the lion was watching, and it couldn't take time to raise its head to see what the noise was because it was so busy feeding itself. If one part suffers, every part suffers. We're supposed to have this connectedness to one another, and especially those we're assigned to pack their parachute, or the one packing our parachute. And see, sometimes we say, well, I wonder why I can't find anybody packing my parachute. Well, maybe if you'd be a little easier to approach. Hello? I'm preaching better than you're responding. You know, maybe if we wouldn't be quite so touchy, somebody could get a parachute on us that they pack. Amen. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Or maybe if you wouldn't be quite so domineering in how I approach people, or we approach people, then maybe we could pack somebody's parachute and get it on them so that they could use it. Sometimes we tend to be so domineering, so dogmatic. Do it my way. Why don't we let them do it God's way? Why don't we just be the part that's supplying the resources so they can follow God's instructions? Amen. Hallelujah. Here's a little thought that the Lord gave me. This was not a part of the original message, but the other day when I was in prayer, the Lord spoke this to me, and I just stopped what I was doing as He gave it to me and wrote it down. When you pack someone else's parachute, you're sowing seed for your harvest. When you are packing someone else's parachute, you are sowing seed for your harvest. I want to read to you Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 from the J.B. Phillips translation. I love the way this words. Galatians 6, 7. A man's harvest in life depends entirely on his sowing. A man's harvest in life depends entirely on his sowing. Are you missing a part of your harvest just because you're not sowing into packing somebody else's parachute? Are you causing somebody else to miss out on their harvest because you don't think you need them to pack your parachute? You know, sometimes we who are called to pack somebody else's parachute, we can get into that big time. But when somebody else comes up and says, God's called me to pack yours, oh, that's all right. I appreciate that. Appreciate it. God bless you. I really don't need it. Go do that for Bill or Sue or somebody else. And if there's someone here named Bill or Sue, it's only an example. A man's harvest in life depends entirely on their sowing. Yeah, I think the King James says it like this. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. So when you're packing someone else's parachute, you're sowing towards your harvest. What kind of harvest do you want? Do you want a cheap harvest or do you want an abundant harvest? I don't know about you, but I want an abundant harvest. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the Lord just gave me some questions to throw out, and then we're going to close. Do you know your place in the body? Do you know your place in the body of Christ? We all have a place. The Bible told us that. But do you know where it's at? Do you know what it is that where you fit in the body? Because it's not just enough to be in the body. You need to be in your place. That's where there's an anointing to function. There's not an anointing to do everything, but there is an anointing on your life to do something. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you functioning as if someone's life depends on it? Because someone's life does depend on how you function. If you don't supply, somebody's life could be in jeopardy. Spirit, soul, body. One or all three of those categories that make up who we are as a person. Are you functioning as if someone's life depends on you? If somebody doesn't make it, will you stand in front of the Lord someday and Him say, if you'd have packed their parachute, or if you'd have packed it correctly, they would have made it to their assignment. And so would have gotten saved, who would lead everybody else to get saved, and then thousands would get saved as a result. There was a pastor, a preacher, an evangelist, and I can't remember his full name, but his last name was Ham, H-A-M. He went into a certain area in North Carolina and preached a revival for a week. Night after night, he preached his heart out, preached the Word of God. Night after night, not one person came to the altar. Not one. Very last night of the revival, he was discouraged. He was fighting, feeling like he had failed. He preached what God gave him that night, gave the invitation, and one little boy got saved. One. He went home and felt like such a failure. God, I preached my heart out night after night. I did what you told me to do, the best I understood it. And only one, and him was just a little kid. One little kid got saved. God, what gives? Years later, that little kid turned out to be Billy Graham, the great evangelist, who's won more people to Jesus than anybody else. So don't ever despise the fact that you're just packing one person's parachute, and you may think they're the most obscure person in the world, but you don't know what God's got planned for their life. Amen. And you don't know the harvest you're going to get. See, when you support Billy Graham, for example, then you share in the harvest of souls. Amen. Another question. This is a biggie. Are you encouraged or discouraged about your place of service? Are you encouraged or discouraged about your place of service in the body? You see, Satan uses discouragement like nothing else to cause people to lose interest in serving. Have you served for a long time and it seems like it's not making a difference? It makes a difference to God. Come on. I said it makes a difference to God. God sees you being faithful, and God looks at it as a righteous thing that you're obeying Him, that you're believing Him. Remember Abraham? Believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. When you believe God's assignment on your life, and you go for it with everything you've got, God counts that as a righteous thing. He counts it as a holy thing. Are you encouraged or discouraged? If you're discouraged, I want to encourage you, talk to your pastor. Talk to your pastor. Get some people around you to pray for you and break that spirit of discouragement off of you, because you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might so you can do what He's called you to do. Amen? Hallelujah. And Satan is a master of using discouragement to distract us. In fact, he's a master of distraction. Diversionary tactics are a masterpiece to him. He'll cause things to happen in your life to cause you to lose your focus, to cause you to begin to feel like, oh, I'm not getting anywhere. But you don't know. You may be one prayer, one act of obedience away from breakthrough. Well, what if I live my life doing what God called me to do, and I come and I die, and I never saw my breakthrough? I guarantee there'll be a breakthrough when you go through heaven. And I'll guarantee when you get to heaven, you'll be glad you obeyed. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you're going to heaven because of what you do. You're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. But when I get to heaven, I want to have something to lay at Jesus' feet. I want Him above everything. If I know my heart, the one thing I've cried out to God for is, Lord, when I stand before you, let it be that you can say, well done. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. See, it's not a matter of how much you're assigned to take care of. Whether it's one person or it's a million, it doesn't matter. It's what's your attitude about serving. And are you staying encouraged about it? You know, sometimes we feel like, well, there's nobody helping me. And there ought to be. But if there's not, you remember Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. And the Bible says He is a very present help in the time of need, amen? He's there for you. Cry out to Him. Hallelujah. And keep a smile on your face. I realize I'm going over perfume, but keep a smile on your face. See, Satan is not God. He can't read your mind. All he can do is look at how you're responding to what he sends your way. So if you keep smiling, he'll think it ain't working. There's a reason to smile. And of course, we all know it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. Hallelujah. Another question, are you spirit-led or emotionally led? And we talked last week about emotions go up and down, but being led by the Holy Spirit stays constant. If you want to stay steadfast and immovable, stay being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see, packing someone's parachute requires commitment, doesn't it? I mean, for the guy down there in the belly of the ship, working on this wooden bench, day after day, putting these parachutes together, making sure all the strands were just right, the folds were just right, nobody around watching, nobody to say, boy, you're doing a great job, nobody to appreciate. See, we want somebody to pat us on the back. That's human nature. I mean, come on. Don't sit there and act like you're so angelic. I know we join the angels in singing, but the reality is there's some flesh and blood here that every once in a while likes to be stroked. And we want to be stroked the right way. Gordon and Debbie Brubaker have got this wonderful cat named Toasty. And when you finally get to know Toasty, or Toasty gets to know you, she'll let you pet her. But you got to pet them the right way. If you go against the grain, then they tell, like some Christians, just go the wrong way. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. It requires commitment. It requires dedication. When nobody else is there, nobody else is watching, but in your mind you realize the assignment is not just about you packing a parachute, it's about somebody else fulfilling what God assigned them to do. In the scenario of this man on the USS Kitty Hawk packing the parachute for Charles Plum, his commitment, first of all, had to be to the whole ship that he was serving on and to the captain. And the Lord gave me this parallel, that just like he had to be committed to the ship and the captain, so we've got to be committed to the local assembly where God's assigned us to be, and to the pastor. We've got to be willing to submit ourselves to authority. Amen. That boy got quiet in a hurry. A minute ago, yeah, go, go, go. No, we flatlined. It's okay. I know these things, sometimes it sinks in, you know, and it's like, oh, I got to submit. Now, when the Bible tells us to submit to the pastor, or anyone else for that matter that's in a position of authority, there is a limit. You only have to submit as long as they're not asking you to do something that violates the Word of God. The Word of God is the ultimate authority in the life of the believer, amen? Our problem is sometimes that let's just use the pastor, for example. Since he's not here, let's use the pastor. He can't defend himself. You know, some of you have never smiled through this whole service. It's okay. But let's use the pastor. Maybe the pastor says, yeah, I don't want you to, I don't want you to do that. And so, bless God, I'm just not going to submit to him at all. We didn't make it a blanket coverage thing. I'm not going to submit, no matter what the pastor says. He told me something not to do and I wanted to do it. I hear God as good as he does. I'm not doing anything he says. Instead of saying, okay, you know, I really believe that God told me to do that. I've got to submit to God. But in all the other areas where he's telling me to do something and it doesn't violate the word, I'm going to be submissive. That's God's way. There's an improvement. We got a few amens. And then another question we have to ask ourselves, and this is really sometimes where the rubber meets the road. Are we unable to make a full commitment to the church and the pastor because we've got some wounds in our life from which we've never been healed? You know, there's so many Christians sitting in churches and they want to do something for God and they're trying to do something for God and they're doing something for God, but they've never been able to really release themselves in full faith to a local assembly and submit themselves to a pastor because they got wounded before and it hurts. And it still hurts. And so every time they think about somebody in the church, pastor, whoever it might be, touching the hurt, they want to cover it, you know. They want to back away. They want to protect it. And so they're never able to really do what they could do. they're never able to really pack somebody's parachute like they could. Hallelujah. That wasn't in the original message either. But God gave that to me, and I just stopped and wrote it down. God loves you. Can I tell you, there's not a person under the sound of my voice that is not special to God. You are so, if you could understand, if I had the vocabulary and the revelation to tell you how special you were to God, you'd probably fall on your face and say, "My Lord, how awesome is your love." You're special to God. And God doesn't want you going through your life limping. He doesn't want you go through your life crippled, unable to enjoy the fullness of what He has for you in relationships, in interconnecting, in being able to be a supply line to somebody as well as receiving from somebody else. Who's packing your parachute? Whose parachute are you packing? Last week when I closed, I asked this congregation, those that were here, to pray this week, past week now, and ask God to show you whose parachute you were assigned to pack and who was assigned to pack your parachute. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you prayed that prayer, but I pray you did. You know, every day since I've made the commitment to pack Bill and Cindy McFeature's parachute, I have discovered things about me. Yeah, the Lord showed me some things about Bill and Cindy so I can better pack their parachute, but who I've really learned about has been me. I've learned things that I didn't know about me that I didn't necessarily and don't necessarily like. I found out how that I tend to still want to hold on to what's for my ultimate good rather than what's for their ultimate good. So here's what I felt like the Lord spoke to me this morning. That there were people here and the Lord's speaking to you today. And He's wanting to take you from one level of glory to another level of glory. Jesus said you know the truth and the truth would set you free. But knowing truth is a progressive thing, isn't it? I mean, you know more truth today than you did when you first got saved, which means you're able to walk in more liberty today than you did when you first got saved, which means if you continue doing that tomorrow, you'll walk in even more liberty. Amen. So it's a progressive thing. So I just want to ask you this morning, maybe you're here. In fact, let's just bow our heads for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you just speak to our hearts as we move into the rest of this service, because you know what you want to do in each of our lives. You've got the master blueprint in front of you, and you're following it. And we are your workmanship. We are your masterpiece that you're creating to your honor and your glory. I ask you, Father, to help us today, Lord, to listen to your voice and be willing to act upon what you speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're here today, every head's still bowed, no one looking around, but if you're here today, and there's some areas in your life that are still wounded, and it's keeping you from being able to launch out and release the full commitment that you know the Lord wants you to make. Or maybe you're here today and there's something standing in the way of you being willing to let go and say, "Lord, I'm going to seek you and find out who you want me to pack their parachute, and with your help, I'm going to be the best parachute packer that's ever been for that person." If that's you today, I'd just like to ask you to slip your hand up and put it back down. Nobody's looking around. Thank God for that hand. Someone else. Someone else. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you, Father. Every head bowed, nobody looking around, because I don't want anybody to feel like they're being spied upon. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to give you just another minute, because I feel like in my heart that there are some walls that have been built up, and God's wanting them to come down. Not only so you can access others, but so others can access you. So is there anyone else who'd like to raise their hand this morning? Thank God for that hand. Two precious hands have gone up. It takes a lot of courage just to raise your hand, even though there's nobody looking around. It takes a lot of courage. Thank God for that hunger. See, that represents a desire. I want change. I want things to change in my life. Somebody else. We've got time. All time belongs to God. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God for that hand. Thank God for that hand. Another hand went up. Thank you, Father. Thank God for that hand. Another hand went up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Several hands have gone up. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to ask you, if you raise your hand, I believe with all my heart, I wouldn't be preaching this message. God wouldn't have me preach it. It wouldn't do any good if this were not a house of love. There's the love of God and the presence of God in this place. Now I want to ask you, if you raised your hand, I'd like to ask you to come and join me at the front. We want to pray with you. Thank God for somebody who doesn't hesitate. Thank God for people who don't hesitate. Come on. You raise your hand. Let God help you today. Thank God. These are coming. Thank the Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Come on. Some of the rest of you raised your hand. You need to come up front. God loves you. This isn't my invitation. This is God's invitation to you because He loves you. Because He cares about you. Because He wants you free. Free to interact. Free to relate. Free to receive and give. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Kathy, would you join me and let's pray? I want to ask Roxanne, any of the leaders of the church, if you'd come, just help us pray. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Come on in here, Charles. You're doing good, right? Right there, you're fine.
Yeah, go ahead and stand back here.
Yeah, you're fine.
We're just getting him up.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Parabasi kishi bato kubravata kubuto shukabada karabuto rabakaba katakaba.
Thank you.
Come on. I need, prayer words. I need you guys getting in here. Thank you, Father. Panda la buru baba vasi ke di kato ko rapetu si kata sa kara vedo ra para kato ko shukara vedo ra kato ro kato ro pete kala ite pri kato shukata ko pre kavara pete ka shukata kata pa kato yama do pa te pa ka pre te ke shi kato ko po ma ta ra pa te re kle ko skuto pre ka pata po pa da anda la buru ba ti ete kara vedo ko shukara vedo kato ko shukara vedo kato ro to. Thank you, Father. Father, I just hold Curtis up before you this morning. Father, Curtis loves you, and Satan's tried to lie to him and tell him that his part's not important. Satan's tried to lie to him and say, well, you couldn't do it. You wouldn't be able to function. You couldn't do it. But that's a lie of the enemy, Curtis. Don't believe it. Don't buy into it. You're more than a conqueror through him who loved you and gave himself for you. And you may have been wounded, and people may have hurt you, and people may have ignored you. But I want to tell you, God's not ignoring you. And I want to tell you, the body of Christ is not ignoring you. There are those waiting on you to step into your position and release your supply into the lives of others in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you touch Curtis, that you minister to him. Oh, God, that you heal the wounds and the scars and the tender places. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you that Curtis is going to be the best parachute packer, Father, in your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I just thank you, Father, you're filling in with your wisdom and your insight and your understanding of how to go about doing it and who it is he's assigned to. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I just lay hands on this precious mother, Father. I just thank you, Father. The enemy would tell her the deck is stacked against you, but God's got the winning hand. Hands of Jesus that were pierced for you. Hands of Jesus that blayambura, theongoriste, ito, cha. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you right now. I call down every wall and every barrier to your success in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Come down. Come down in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I pray toto say. Father, here's Charles, your servant.
Yes.
God who comes today to submit himself to you to be a parachute packer.
Yes,
and Lord, to be positioned to have somebody else pack his parachute.
Yes.
And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, that your plan for Charles is that his eyes would be opened.
Yes.
Your plan for Charles is that he'd see 2020, that he'd have two beautiful eyeballs.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Father, for that divine provision from Christ flowing into his life in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Yes,
Lord.
Oh,
Lord. Open. Yes, Lord. Open in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I thank you not only open his physical eyes, open his spiritual eyes.
That's right.
Lord, to the opportunities that are before him.
Yes,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name.
That's
right. Father, I lay hands on Linda. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, your boss can da la baramete, hungoroscomberinge, hingurisike, hemoshamata, los tandalema. Oh, no, to no, you call no bomb, no weapon formed against you, a prosper daughter. I said it out of my mouth. My word never comes back void or empty. You can count on it. No plot. No plan, no ploy of the enemy will succeed against you, says the Lord. So rise up to your destiny. Begin to pack somebody else's parachute. I've got you covered, says the Lord. I've got you covered, says the Lord. I have covered you by the blood of the covenant of my son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Shabbat, I'd start praising God, folks. I'd start praising God, start thanking him. I'd start thanking the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, is a sign you believe his word.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Tell me your name again.
James.
How could I forget James? Father, I thank you for James. James is a man that, Father, is misunderstood a lot of times, but yet, Father, you've got purposes and plans and assignments for James' life. Now, I just thank you, Father, for his obedience and his willingness to come. God, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, that, Father, that you're revealing and making plain to him who he's assigned to. And, Father, also who is assigned to him. Father, that relationship may build. And I pull down every barrier the enemy tries to erect that hinders relationship. I tear down by the authority of Jesus Christ every wall Satan tries to build to keep relationship with other believers from forming, so that that interaction of supply and demand can happen in Jesus' name. Guide his steps, Lord. Give him revelation, wisdom, and knowledge and insight. Oh, you got so much to offer. You've got so much to offer. And the Father says, but I want to repackage it, says the Father. Well, you've got much to give, but I'm going to repackage it so it can be accepted and received, says the Father. Be pliable in my hands. I'm the master potter. I not only deposit, but I put the vessel and the container together, says the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Receive it. Accept it. Accept it. Put your hands up as a sign of surrender to God's word and his will for your life. Father, this man desperately needs the reassurance of your love in his life. Oh, it is. Oh, Ray, value, value, value. You're valuable. You're valuable.
Yes, you are.
Oh, koto, toti, kateria. Yo, sandaleva. Sandaloboto. Oh, God, about that shit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, God, God. Oh, God. I'll tell you what, there's some other people that need to come. You may not understand everything that's going on, but I'm telling you, God's touching and healing people so they can function in the body. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. For those of you who raised your hand and didn't come, I'd like to pray for you. Just you sitting right where you're at, not coming back to you, not going to identify you, because I want you to receive. God cares about you. If you'll allow God to, he'll tear down the walls you've built to protect you. To protect yourself And just trust God to be your protector. I can't guarantee you you'll never be hurt again. In fact, I could almost guarantee you you will be hurt again. But I can guarantee you that no weapon formed against you will prosper, and that every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you can stand up and say, no, it's not like that, it's like this. It's like the Word of God says. Father, I pray for every person that raised their hand for whatever reason, Father, they didn't come forward. Lord, they're so precious to you. I can feel your heart reaching out to them, God, wanting to draw them to yourself. Because you see, whether you realize it or not, the Lord says, you've not just blocked out people, you've been blocking Him out too. Oh, receive what the Lord has for you. Receive His healing touch. Father, I just thank you for healing emotions. I thank you, Father, for healing wounds and scars. I thank you, Father, for faith. Father, to release it to you and say, God, I can't do it. I can't protect myself. You be my protection. You be my defense. You be my shield. You be my armor. Father, we thank you for it and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Father, may every one of us make a renewed commitment, Father, to doing what you've assigned us to do. Functioning in the body where you assigned us to function. Being who you've called us to be. And I thank you, Father, Lord, for every prophetic word that went forth today according to your will and your purpose. Father, I thank you. It will not go forth and come back empty. It's going to do what you sent it to do. It was a seed sent forth into the lives of those who came forward that they might receive the freedom and the liberty to function as you call them to in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. As we leave this place, Father, may we realize that our assignment has not ended. It's only beginning to go out and represent you, to represent your love, to represent confidence in you, our God. Lord, to a world who has been deceived, to a world that feels like they can't trust anybody, may we show them there is one in whom you can put your total and complete confidence and trust, and that's Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you as you prophesied already months ago. This is turnaround. Lord, this is the year of turnaround, and I see the ship turning. I see the ship turning. Moving towards its destination, church. Get on board. Don't miss the journey. Thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Roxanne, do you need to say anything? Hallelujah. Go take that what you've experienced in here. Take it with you out there. In Jesus' name. Amen.